إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. All praises due to Allah. We praise Him as such. We seek His forgiveness and we ask His assistance. ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge with Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. ما يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. Whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah allows to go astray, then no one can guide. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah, alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention, grant him peace, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with the sharh of Al-Thalathatul Usul, and even without a microphone, life goes on. Back in the days, the early scholars, not that we are one of them or of them, but the scholars had no microphone, nothing. And they would have hundreds of students in their circles, like Imam Bukhari. He would have hundreds of students. And so they had the means to convey the message without the modern tools. So we could follow their footsteps for once with the microphone not working accordingly. I'm sure everybody could hear me pretty clearly, inshallah. If not, sit closer. The Shaykh said, اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة تعلم ثلاث هذه المسائل والعمل بهن. الأولى أن الله خلقنا. No, may Allah have mercy on you. That it is compulsory upon every Muslim male and Muslim female to learn these three issues or matters that we have discussed and to act according to them as well, implementation and putting them into practice. And the first of which is that Allah has created us. Now the Shaykh in the Sharh gave us maybe around 10 ayat. But that we have discussed in our previous book, Sharh Usul al-Iman, so we will not go over it again. But I will give at least an ayah from the Quran to prove this particular point. For example, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 11, interpretation of the meaning in English, and we have certainly created you and given you this human form which you have. So وَدَلِيلُ ذَلِكَ أَعْنِي أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقْنَا سَمْعِي وَعَقْلِي. We said the evidence that Allah created us is سَمْعِي, which meant what? Textual evidences. An evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah. عَقْلِي, intellectual evidence. The brain which Allah has given us naturally is inclined towards belief. That's why, as we have discussed before, the majority of people on earth are what they call deists. Those who believe in a deity, in a God. They may differ about the God and their understanding of this God, that's another discussion. But those who are atheists, like the communists and others, are considered to be a minority among the creation and an abnormality among the creation as well. It's a form of sickness for someone to deny the existence of God. Predominantly people believe in God, even though they differ about the definition of that God. So we have textual evidence, intellectual evidences. And the first one we quoted was then textual or intellectual? The ayah, is it considered a textual evidence or intellectual evidence? Textual evidence. Text. Textual comes from the word text, mas. Whatever has been revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal in terms of evidences is considered a text. And so we say textual evidence, meaning an evidence based on the text. طيب well, Allah خالق كل شيء. Allah is the creator of everything. We have many ayat in the book of Allah. أما الدليل العقلي على أن الله خلقنا فقد جاءت الإشارة إليه في قوله تعالى أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون. As for the intellectual evidence in terms of logic to prove the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it is also through an evidence from the Quran that is intellectual, which is in Surah At-Tur. Everybody should know this ayah, because this is the first ayah you must know when you deal with an atheist, someone who doesn't believe in God. This is something that you must have, you know, some sort of idea about. Surah At-Tur, verse 35. Or were they created by nothing, or were they the creator of themselves? Now you ask anyone this question, and there are only two options. If they deny the existence of God, then what is remaining is one of two things. Either you created yourself, and no human being can say that. No human being can say, I created myself. He knows that he was a baby. He can even show you pictures of himself when he was born and say, you know you didn't create yourself. Okay, you just came into existence. Or they were created by nothing. And we said even last night, this is illogical. If you were created by nothing, that is impossible, because for nothing to create you, it must exist. And it's no longer nothing, because nothing is that which doesn't exist. If nothing brought you into existence, meaning it's something, it's no longer nothing. So we have problems with even expression. It doesn't make any sense. So no one created himself, and no one was created by nothing. The third option is what? There's a creator. And so people are for now this ayah, it forces any atheist to make this admission. If they lie, then they lie to themselves, because they know deep within that they didn't create themselves and they didn't come by nothing, because nothing cannot bring something into existence. Is that clear? And so then there must be a creator. That's just logic. Some people don't understand. فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَمْ يَخْلُقْ نَفْسَهُ لِأَنَّهُ قَبْلَ وُجُودِ الْعَدَمْ وَالْعَدَمْ لَيْسَ بِشَيْءٍ وَمَا لَيْسَ بِشَيْءٍ لَا يُوجِدْ شَيْءٍ. This is just exactly what was said earlier. طيب. So basically the Shaykh saying, because everything you see in this creation, the harmony of the creation, the systemized way of life, the alternation of the night and the day, the sun and the moon, the way everything works, is not by chance. Nothing happens by chance. This clock, whatever, it used to be here, now it's over there. For this clock to function in the way it does, there must be some machinery in the back. Some things that make it roll in order for the time to continue to change. This doesn't happen by itself, where the minute, it will move every minute, and then the hour will move accordingly, 24/7. It continues to move by chance, without any machine, without any battery, without any kind of energy to maintain it. It's impossible. So if you cannot believe that a clock is able to function on its own, then what about everything you see around you? This whole creation. Who allows the sun? Who commands the sun to rise every single day, from where it rises and sets where it sets? It is by the will of Allah. If Allah so willed, the sun wouldn't move and wouldn't come or wouldn't go. It may come sometime and it may be absent at others. So all this is an indication that there's a creator behind everything that you see. Okay. وَرَزَقَنَا. The second evidence here is that Allah sustained us. So the first thing we should believe, أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنَا. And be familiar with the Arabic words, it may be beneficial in the future. أَنَّ اللَّهَ. Verily Allah, خَلَقَنَا, from يَخْلُق, to create. خَلَقَنَا, He created us. وَرَزَقَنَا, from the word رِزْق. So you want رِزْق? رَزَقَنَا, He sustained us. Rizq is called sustenance or provision. And Allah is the one who provided us with the provision or sustained us with that sustenance. أَنَّ اللَّهَ رَزَقَنَا. The Shaykh said, أَدِلَّةُ هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالْعَقْلِ. Similarly, the evidences for that are many, from the Quran and the Sunnah and the text and the intellect. أما الكتاب فقال الله تعالى إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. The evidence from the book is the statement of Allah. Indeed, it is Allah who is the provider, the firm possessor of strength. Now, who knows this ayah came after what ayah? This ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. It came after which ayah? Does anybody know? Come on, brothers. If we mention who won the cricket match in 1855, maybe somebody will give us the answer. Huh? Good. Before that, actually this is after. No, this is before that. The most famous... Jazakallahu khairan. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. The ayah that preceded that, Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah says, and I did not create jinn or ins except to worship. Then the very next ayah, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ. I do not ask them to sustain me. Allah does not need us to sustain him, and he does not need us to give him food. On the other hand, it is Allah, the sustainer, the firm possessor of strength. The scholars say, this is very interesting, the sequence of the ayat. Because very often, people abandon worshipping Allah because of sustenance. They run around trying to make money in lawful ways and unlawful ways, and they neglect the right of Allah, which is worship, on the abusing the excuse, I'm trying to make a living. So Allah was telling us, your job is to worship. As for rizq, you don't have to do too much so that you will have to feed Allah or sustain him. Rather, it is Allah the one who sustains you, and he's the firm possessor of strength. Meaning, prioritize. You give Allah's right first, worship, then sustenance shall come to you if you utilize the means. It doesn't mean you sleep in the masjid from Fajr till Dhuhr, then from Dhuhr till Asr and say, Wallah brother, I'm worshipping Allah all day, where's my salary? You say your salary is outside the masjid. When you get a job and you work, you'll make money. Allah will provide you when you strive. Even Maryam alayhi salam, when she was pregnant with Jesus, peace be upon him, Isa, and she was at the pain of childbirth, drove her to the trunk of a palm tree, right? And so she was in a very difficult situation. Still, Allah told her, "Wahuzzi ilayki bijid'i nakhla, tusaqat alayki rutaban janiya." And now this is a woman. Allah commanded her to actually shake the trunk of a palm tree. You go try to get a palm tree, try to shake it, see what will happen. Nothing will happen. But the scholars say, even at that time, she's in the pain of childbirth, she's stressed, she said earlier she had just been gone and disappeared, still she was expected to do some work for the dates to fall. Allah could have made the dates fall without her shaking the trunk of the palm tree. But Allah wanted to teach us, and this is from the miracles of the Quran, and this is what the scholars deduce when they read the Quran, that in this context, this shows you that you need to work in order to earn a living. So a Muslim is not lazy, and he does not depend on others. He depends on Allah Azza wa Jal, and he utilizes the means. But some people unfortunately go to extremes. They become so overwhelmed and obsessed with rizq, then they abandon Allah's right. And so we need to be moderate. Don't go to either extreme. Give Allah's rights first. At the salah time, you shouldn't be at the office. You should not be at the office because your mudir has an important conference or meeting to conduct. No time for meetings at the time of salah because you have a meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal in the masjid. And he expects of you to be in the masjid with the men, not at the office, and not at home, and nowhere else. And so if one favors his mudir, the meeting with his mudir over the meeting with his Lord, then how are you going to ask Allah of Jannah on the Day of Judgment? When this day you were choosing the other one. It may be said to you, go to your mudir, let him permit you to Jannah. Because Allah told us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So these things that we take for granted, we read them, but very often we don't really implement them in our lives. It's just academic knowledge which we have, but there's no fulfillment of this knowledge in real life. And this is not befitting for a believer. When you know this information, brother, put it into practice. At the salah time, you should be in the masjid. Nowhere else. And this is applicable to everything else. We will be dealing with some things dealing with Ramadan, inshaAllah ta'ala, at the correct time. So this was one evidence. وَأَمَّا السُّنَّةِ فَمِنْهَا قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْجَنِينَ يُبْعَثْ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ فَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَأَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٍّ أَوْ سَعِيدٍ. As from the sunnah, then the evidence concerning rizq is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Bukhari, hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that when the child, the infant, the, actually in the stage of the embryo, that the baby in the mother's womb before it is born, when he reaches 40 days according to the narration, then an angel is sent forth to him in order to command or to write four different matters, four things that Allah had decreed will be written. First, his sustenance, rizq. First thing will be written, how much you're going to make in your life. Already while you're in your mother's womb, it's been written. Second, ajalihi, when you will die. When you will die. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And no soul knows where death shall come upon it. Where you will die is the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَعَمَلِهِ, and your deeds. Whether you're going to do good deeds or bad deeds. وَشَقِيٌّ أَمْ سَعِيدٌ, and whether you're going to be wretched or successful, happy. And that is of course in the outcome of things. وَأَمَّا الدَّلِيلُ الْعَقْلِي عَلَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ رَزَقَنَا فَلِأَنَّنَا لَا نَعِيشُ إِلَّا عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَشَرَابٍ. As for the intellectual evidence that Allah is the one who provided us and sustained us, it's because we cannot live or survive without food and drink. والطعام والشراب خلقه الله عز وجل. And food and drink was created by Allah عز وجل. Even though they may mix a bunch of ingredients to make a new product, like a chocolate bar, but everything that they use to make the chocolate bar was created by Allah. So it's not like it's, you know, you have to have a tree of chocolate, right? Just like you have apples. So it doesn't have to be directly something that Allah made. Rather, anything that we wind up utilizing still falls under the creation of Allah. Like you make a door. Now you say that you created this door in a sense that you made it, but you didn't make the tree that made the wood. So the ultimate creation then, it goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he quoted some ayat from the book of Allah in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, which we can all refer to at our own convenience, inshallah ta'ala. Surah Al-Waqi'ah verse 63 to 70. So when you go back home, you could read these ayat which deal with the fact that Allah is the one who gave us the food and the drink and everything else of this nature. طيب. وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا. And Allah did not leave us ignored or unattended. He did not abandon us. Allah created us, He sustained us, and He didn't just create and sustain and just leave us to live lives according to our own desires. So everybody just follows His way of life. Rather, we have been given a code of conduct, which is what we know as religion. And the word religion is not very accurate when we Islam, when we want to define Islam, it is not very accurate to call it religion, even though we use it today because of convenience. Because religion in the Western world is that which deals with spirituality only. You know, the relationship between the creation and their God. Secularism, or that which is secular, has to do with everything else, social, economic, and other aspects of life. Islam is not only your relationship with Allah, but also economy, socialism, and so on and so forth. So Islam is more like a way of life, deen, a way of life, rather than religion, simply religion, which is like Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, and things of this nature. طيب. So Allah did not leave us unattended. هذا هو الواقع التي تدل عليه الأدلة السمعية والعقلية. And this is also backed up by textual evidences and intellectual evidences. أما السمعية فمنها قوله تعالى أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون فتعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. Allah Azza wa Jal says, interpretation of the meaning in English, then did you think that we created you uselessly and that to us you will not be returned? So exalted is Allah, the truth, the sovereign, the truth. There is no God worthy of worship but He, the Lord of the noble throne. This is Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 115 and 116. And the Shaykh quoted other ayat as well. So this is an evidence that Allah told us, do you think that you were created uselessly? That there's no consequence of your actions, there will be no accountability, no reckoning. Do you believe that? If you do, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Exalted is Allah, the sovereign, the truth, over this kind of claim. Because this is attributing to Allah something that doesn't befit His majesty. To create the creation without telling him what they should do, and that without giving him a life to come, is basically saying that Allah is unwise. Hasha lillah. And high above is Allah, what they attribute to him. What they attribute to him. So inevitably, there's a purpose in life. The reason why we are here today, tonight, tomorrow, the day after, until you die, for this one objective: what will happen to you when you die? There's nothing beyond that. And death is coming to each and every one of us. So don't think that you can continue to follow your ways and desires and postpone tawbah until some future time, because you have no guarantee that you will live until that future time. This is why, brothers, if you really believe, you'll be ready. If you really believe, you will be ready today, before tomorrow, to meet Allah. And the only way you could be ready is by fulfilling Allah's rights and those of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by being a true Muslim inwardly and outwardly, by following the teachings of Islam in every aspect of life. No pick and choose. I like this, so I do it. I don't like this, I don't do it. That's not really Islam. That's not Islam, submission to Allah or surrendering to Allah. This is surrendering to one's desires. Whatever my desires tell me, I do. Whatever they prevent me, I stop. This is not, you're not worshipping Allah in the ultimate sense. You're not a kafir, but you're not really a true believer. As Allah described the true believers in the Quran, that when they are called to Allah and His Messenger, they say, سمعنا وأطعنا. We listen, we obey. Sit. Very basic. You are born, created to have a job. At your job you're told, we're going to tell you to do this, just do it. And you will be successful. So we cannot afford to lose coming to the job and play around. Play with the manager. Wallah, okay, but I don't really like doing this. Listen man, you're talking about success here. If you want to keep your job, get your salary and live a happy life, you need to listen to the manager. Otherwise, if you stop playing, he will throw you out of the company. He will fire you. Lay you off. They don't need someone to go back and forth with them, because there's business to be conducted. And so this is very similar to our life. We're not here to go back and forth debating with Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger about what we should do and what we shouldn't do. It's simple. If Allah and His Messenger said something, do it. You see? The most simple thing in the world. But look at our lives. How many of us are failing? If one of us evaluates himself, you will see that we are far away, failing in a number of ways, in more than one angle. Time to follow simple instructions to enter Jannah. Because of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannata illa man aba." قالوا ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام, all of my ummah shall enter Jannah, except there will be an exception, not everybody, except those who refuse. So the Sahaba were traumatized, shocked. Refuse? Who would refuse? How could you offer someone Jannah, say, come with me, come to Jannah, and he says, ma'lish, Jazakallahu khairan, brother. I'm okay. Who will refuse? The Sahaba said, وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who will refuse? How can someone be offered Jannah and he refuses? They didn't understand this expression, because really it doesn't make sense. You offer Jannah and you refuse. But then he explained how this refusing takes place. He said, whosoever obeys me will enter Jannah, and whosoever disobeys me has refused. So anytime you disobey him regarding an obligation, not the voluntary, that's another discussion. Regarding the obligations, anytime you disobey him, you are automatically refusing Jannah. Because he said, everybody will enter Jannah from my ummah except those who don't want it. And when he tells you to do something and you say ma'lish, then you're basically saying, in other words, I don't want Jannah. I'm willing to try the hellfire. Even if you don't say this verbally, your behavior actualizes this kind of understanding. Your behavior suggests that, even if your expression does not. You may say the opposite. I love Allah, I love His Messenger, I'm a good Muslim. A lot of things we say. But then the reality is, it's not consistent with our speech. So brothers in Islam, be careful of refusing Jannah. Because if you do, then you will fall under those whom Allah said about in the Quran, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. On the day where the wrongdoer, the oppressor, the one who oppressed himself and others, will bite on his hand from regret, and he will say, I wish I had taken a path with the Messenger. I wish I had followed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he told me to do ABC, I wish I had done ABC. The problem is, when will that be taking place? When it's too late. When you cannot go back, you cannot change, you cannot fix. So why wait till this point of destruction while you are able to make a change today? And Allah has given you these reminders in order to do something about it. Allah decrees that you came here tonight, you're not at the Danube shopping, and you're not elsewhere, because Allah intended and decreed that you hear a reminder, irrespective of the speaker. This is just a tool. But Allah wanted you to hear something. It doesn't befit that you leave this place without practicing, with feeling in no need of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His reminders. So I hope, inshallah, none of us is at that stage of deviance where we cannot carry out and act according to a reminder which has been given to us. طيب. وأما العقل فلأن وجود هذه البشرية لتحيا ثم تتمتع كما تتمتع الأنعام ثم تموت إلى غير بعث ولا حساب أمر لا يليق بحكمة الله عز وجل بل هو عبث محض. As for intellect, the Shaykh said, the existence of humanity, just the mere existence of humanity, so they may live like animals live, then they die without resurrection, without accountability, is something that does not befit the majesty of Allah. Rather, it is a form of foolishness. And we cannot, no one can say that concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't make sense that you just come live like an animal, you know, have fun, and khalas. When we die, there's no accountability. ولا يمكن أن يخلق الله هذه الخليقة ويرسل إليها الرسل ويبيح لنا دماء المعارضين المخالفين للرسل عليهم الصلاة والسلام ثم تكون النتيجة لا شيء هذا مستحيل على حكمة الله عز وجل. The Shaykh said, it is impossible that Allah will create the creation and then send messengers thereof afterwards and then allow the Muslims to spill the blood of those who oppose them. This is in context of jihad, when jihad is taking place. All this without any result, without any result to be expected. This is impossible as far as the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal is concerned. بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. So Allah, وَلَمْ يَتُرْكْنَا هَمَلًا عَفْوًا. Allah did not leave us unattended. Rather, He sent a messenger to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أي أن الله عز وجل أرسل إلينا معشر هذه الأمة أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا يتلو علينا آيات ربنا ويزكينا ويعلمنا الكتاب والحكمة كما أرسل إلى من قبلنا. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى وإن من أمة إلا خلا فيها نذير. That means that Allah عز وجل sent to us the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم a messenger to recite unto us the verses of our Lord and to purify us and to teach us the Kitab, the Quran, wal-Hikmah, the Sunnah, according to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. The same way he sent messengers to those who preceded us. As Allah says, and there's interpretation of the meaning in English, there was no nation but there had passed within it a warner. No nation came except that a warner came to tell them about the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being worshipped alone. This was Surah Fatir, verse 24. وَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلِ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ لِتَقُومَ عَلَيْهِمِ الْحُجَّةِ وَلِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ بِمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ. And it is inevitable that Allah will send the messengers to the creation in order to establish the proof against them. In order for the proof to be established against them. And so they may worship Allah according to what He loves and He is pleased with. Not according to what we love and innovations. We don't choose a particular day and that we decide that we would worship Allah extra on that day. Because that is trying to worship Allah according to a way which He does not love and He did not choose. If Allah wanted me and you to be active on the 15th of Sha'ban, then there would have been authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that indicate that you should do something special on the 15th of Sha'ban. But there is no such narration. There are fabricated narrations, and fabricated meaning a lie, meaning I, a'udhu billah, or a person outside, he writes a piece of paper, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't eat watermelon. And he brings it in here, and he says, akhi, I have a hadith. Don't eat watermelon. Haram for you to eat watermelon. Batikh, you know, hap-hap, whatever they call it. Tayyib, what do we do? Say, Habibi, this hadith, where did you get it from? Which one of the imams collected this hadith? He tells you, Abu Dawood. We say, okay, now the ulama, they go to the books of hadith of Abu Dawood. He, rahimahullah, used to mention the chain of narrators. I heard from such and such person, who heard from such and such person, until the sahabi, until the messenger of Allah. Then you have a alim of hadith who will say, okay, let me study this chain of narrators. Now, each one of these people in the chain of narrators, they have a biography about, that is recorded. When he was born, what was his religious commitment like? Was he a good Muslim? Did he have sound knowledge? Did he have a good memory? All this was recorded. Then they will study the chain of narrators. So they will find in some instances that this man who said, I heard from that man, never met. That man died in the year 151 and the other one came in the year 163. 12 years after he died. How did he hear from him? So they say this hadith is inauthentic. How did you hear from the man when you were not alive when he died? So then you see the ulama study the chain of narrators and then they label the hadith as being sound or otherwise. So someone who says don't eat batikh, we have to go back to the chain of narrators. So if we find it to be authentic, all of them were good Muslims, had knowledge, had good memory, then we say this is sahih. This is why Bukhari and Muslim are the most authentic books. Because they did not put in their book, any hadith unless it met these conditions. That all of the men in the chain of narrators were known to be sound. Now when we come to the 15th of Sha'ban, we hear a lot of things. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha said, the Messenger of Allah said, blah, 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 blah. Tayyib. Go back to the science of hadith which I just mentioned to you. You will find that not even one narration is sahih. Not even one is authentic. And many of them are fabricated. Meaning, it doesn't even have a chain of narrators. You know what fabricated mean? Not that it's da'if, weak, maybe somebody didn't meet someone. There's nothing. Somebody wrote it up. like many of the narrations about Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran. Recite Surah Yasin with this intention, it's as if you recited the Quran 40 times. So recite Surah Yasin and Dukhan on the day of Jumu'ah. Fabricated narrations. When they spoke to this individual about this, he said, I found that the people abandoned the book of Allah. So I thought, why don't I come up with some narrations in order to encourage the Muslims to go back to read the Quran. So he came up with the narrations, read Surah Yasin every day, go to the grave, read Surah Yasin. If someone's dying, read Surah Yasin. Now we have, most of the Muslim Ummah have only Surah Yasin memorized. In any given occasion, it's Surah Yasin. And there's no sahih narration about Surah Yasin. You see? So people fabricate narrations. 15th of Sha'ban is a classical example. So hopefully if you did something this year and you didn't know, may Allah pardon me and you. Next year, khalas. You don't have to do anything. It's a regular day like the rest of the days. Inshallah ta'ala. So anyways, Allah says, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَعِيسَى وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُونُسَ وَهَارُونَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. Verily we have revealed or inspired you as we have inspired the messengers before you, like Nuh, like we inspired Nuh and the prophets after, as we have inspired unto Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Al-Asbat, Isa, Ayyub, Yunus, Harun, Sulaiman, and we gave David or Dawood the songs, Al-Zabur. Then Allah can, وَرُسُلًا عَفْوًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصُهُمْ عَلَيْكَ وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And messengers to whom we have narrated to you concerning their stories, and others which we have not given you any narrations concerning them. And verily Allah spoke to Musa directly. Allah spoke to Musa directly. رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Messengers, givers of glad tidings and warners, so the people will not have any excuse or proof against Allah after the messengers have been sent to them. And verily Allah is full of might, the most wise. So I will conclude the dars with this particular ayah. And we will, concerning the continuation, this next Tuesday, will, today is what, the 20th of Sha'ban? It's the 20th of Sha'ban. So next Tuesday will be the 27th inshallah. Perhaps we will have a class concerning Ramadan. Okay, some sort of preparation for Ramadan bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Then I was thinking that in Ramadan, we will try to have classes as well once a week, but it's not going to be very convenient after Taraweeh. So I was suggesting that we do it perhaps after Dhuhr or after Asr. I was hoping that the brothers would not say after Asr because they intend on sleeping through Dhuhr. Hey, so yani the most important thing is that you don't have the intention to sleep until Asr. That's why you want after Asr. You better wake up for Dhuhr and come to the masjid. Have jobs? Good, then after Asr. No, I'm fine. I was leaning towards after Asr also, but I wanted to leave that as a final option, so nobody will have any funny thoughts. So after Asr, inshaAllah ta'ala, I don't know. We keep it as a Tuesday? We can, or actually I need to change the day because I may be busy later on in the night. Every day? MashaAllah alaykum. Thursday? Thursday? Weekday. Monday?
Monday
sounds good. Khalas? We'll make an advertisement, or somehow we will try to convey it to the people, you know. We'll try to have a class every Monday after Asr dealing with various Ramadan related issues. Siyam, Qiyam, maybe a Q&A session dealing with issues that may arise for with some of us during Ramadan. Yani, to the best of our ability, inshallah. طيب. So, Zakum la khairan for your patience. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.